the book of Acts is believed to be written by Luke, and Luke is not an apostolic, although there is a gospel according to Luke, but he is not an apostolic. It's believed to be an associate that was going with Paul as he journeyed from one country to another. And the book of Acts is look like is the second book that Luke has written. First it was the Gospel of Luke, and now he reads the book of Acts. So today I'll be talking about the urgent task as believers. What's the urgent task that is being needed in us? Most people have tried to discredit Christianity because of the delay of the coming of Christ. Some have already declared that Christ will never come back because the time has already elapsed. And when I grew up in a Christian family. My mom was a Christian and my father. And they always told us that Jesus will come back soon. And you know, when you are a child, you always expect soon to be soon. You don't expect soon to be later. And when I was growing up, I thought I would not reach primary school because where the wave was, it was too powerful. Every preacher was, Jesus is coming. And I could not imagine when we are approaching 2000, the millennium. Everyone was anticipating, maybe something will happen. But 2000 passed. We are running to 2018. Still, the message is Jesus is coming. The book of Acts begins with such a response to a question. When is this Jesus coming? And it wants to point to the urgent task that we must focus on while waiting for the restoration of the kingdom. The kingdom is confirmed in verse 1 to 3. Luke starts by pointing at the background. Look why he's saying. He's saying, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Luke writes this book to Theophilus, and Theophilus is believed to be a wealthy, influential official in Antioch. He may have been Luke's patron who financed the writing of the book, Luke and Acts. His name is a combination of two Greek words, which means beloved of God or the friend of God. That's the name Theophilus. What a wonderful name. He was a Roman citizen and is believed to be a true believer. And he might be having a high ranking in the Roman official, as a Roman official, because Luke referred to him as a most excellent Theophilus when you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 3. The term excellent is also used in the Bible, referring to Felix and Festus, who was a Roman governor, when you look at Acts chapter 23, verse 26, and chapter 26, verse 25. What's the purpose of the book? Luke, he points out that he wants to share what God begins to do, which meaning the miracles of Jesus and then the sermons of Jesus. And we know that the Gospel of Luke, it gives an account of Jesus, the account life of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and the action, what he was doing, healing people and going from one place to place, preaching the gospel of God. And the book of Acts will pick up from the ascension of Jesus. Then the book of Acts will be talking about Jesus working through the apostles to reach out to the end of the world. And the book is amazing because it points out that Jesus showed himself to the chosen. He never showed himself to the Pharisees. He never showed himself to the high people who have crucified him. And the question we say, why Jesus showed himself to the chosen? Another writer is saying, Because Jesus was preparing the apostles for the ministry to preach to the unbelievers. So the good things was to show himself to those who have been already be convinced. And the book is amazing that it points out that the first thing that Jesus did when he rose himself, he rose from the dead, he went to the apostles. And why to the apostles? And Paul is saying, if Jesus has not risen, our preaching would be useless. So my standing here, if Jesus had not risen, it would be a waste of time. And he continued, he's saying, this is what makes Christianity to be different. Because the risen king shows that there is a kingdom. And for that kingdom, there's a king. And that king is alive. Isn't it wonderful today to know that we are not worshiping someone who's dead, but we are worshiping someone who has risen from dead. He had conquered death. And for that reason, we have a hope for the resurrection of our bodies again. And the Bible say he never showed himself on 5 days. It say there were 40 days when he was preaching. And the teaching of God was not about that he had risen, but he was talking about the kingdom of God, which is a phrase that sums up the theme of the ministry of Jesus. When you look at Luke chapter 4, verse 43. What does this kingdom he was preaching about? It signified the saving and the sovereign action of God through Jesus. And the point is that this kingdom is going to be preached by the apostles because their focus will be preaching about the kingdom that is coming, the kingdom that is within us. And when you look at chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 12, chapter 19, verse 18, all the apostles were preaching about the kingdom. And Jesus has done the work himself by preaching to unbelievers. And the apostles too has to do that, to continue preaching the kingdom of God. Let us look at verse 4 to 8, and we'll look about the main focus. What's the main focus that is needed? The Bible reads that when Jesus had risen, when he has risen from death, on occasions while they were eating with the apostles, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. For this gift you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It seems there is a contradiction to those who want to discredit Christianity. You remember in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said to the apostles, go out and preach the gospel. To those who believe, you must baptize them. But now in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he says, do not go, but stay for the promise of the Father. Why now he wants them to stay, yet he had given them a command to go out? Jesus has added that there is a promise that the Father has promised them. So they must not go out until the promises come. And we remember when John was prophesying, when he was preaching, he baptized Jesus. He said, I only baptize with water, but the one who is coming behind me is gonna baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When we look at Luke chapter 3, verse 16. The Greek word for power is dynamis. And is a source of our English word, dynamite. So we believe that the promise by the Father must be referring right to the Holy Spirit when we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Jesus promised that in a few days, the apostles will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What will the Holy Spirit do? It will equip them. It will give them words. It will empower them that they will not be afraid to preach the word of God. Now, it's not the matter for Christian to wait for the Holy Spirit. Because we now, the moment we receive Jesus in our lives, is the moment we are filled with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Listen to what the urgent task is. A question is being raised by their disciples. They want to know, Jesus has risen from the dead. Is this meaning that the kingdom now will be finally be established? Listen to what they say. They are saying, so when they meet together in verse 6, they ask, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This was the exactly question many people will have today. Because everyone is anticipating for the kingdom that is going to be established by this king, for the kingdom that is going to come. But listen how Jesus addressed the question. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. Firstly, he's saying no human speculation is needed. We have seen many times people have tried to speculate that Jesus will come at a certain time. They've seen some event trying to calculate that maybe he will come at 2030, maybe 2050. But Jesus is saying there's no room for human speculation. No time and date that any person should set, because that date is known only by my Father. When I was growing up, another preacher preached, I nearly took that thing for the rest of my life. He said to me, God has not told Jesus himself when he's coming back. Separating Jesus and God, yet they are one. Because if God has told Jesus, Jesus will tell the church, because Jesus loves the church. Have you heard such thing? But Jesus is saying, no human speculation must be there. Paul, when he writes the book to the Thessalonians, the Thessalonians, we have heard the message that Jesus is coming immediately. And the Thessalonians, seemingly they sold everything. They went to stay, but there was no immediate action that came. Time went by. They were losing their loved ones. And the question rose, when is he coming? And Paul is saying, no dates, nothing you must try to speculate about. But what is needed in you is that we must continue to spread the word of God. Peter, when he writes his book, he's saying, God is so generous, is so patient, that he doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why to him, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, they are like one day. What is it needed to the Christians? Listen what Jesus is saying. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Luke is saying in his book, you Christian, you simply be witnesses. Verse 8. You simply be witnesses. People who tells what they've experienced. People who testify to what they have seen. The Greek word for witnesses is mysterious. In the early church, many Christians, they were dying for their faith because they were confessing their faith. They were living their faith in such a way that they were killed for their faith. That is how in the early church, witness for Christ demanded. It is amazing how Jesus has pointed them. He said you must start in Jerusalem. And if you know, if you read your Bible well, it is where Jesus was persecuted and later crucified. And that is where Jesus said, you must start being witnesses. Brothers and sisters, it's a privilege to live in South Africa. I've never heard someone who has been killed for being testifying about Christ. But in other countries, they are not even allowed to meet because the gospel is not allowed. We were supposed to be more joyful to spread the word of God. But unfortunately, it seems like where there is peace, even Christians, they become cold. Jesus said to them, no matter how much the persecution can be, but you must start at Jerusalem being my witnesses. Verse 9 to 11, why should they be continue being witnesses? The Bible tells us that after he was taken from their side, the ascension, they keep on waiting, looking where he went. I don't know whether they wanted to go with him at the same time. But as they were waiting, there are two angels that appeared to them. Suddenly, they stood among them. You know what they say? They say, men of Galilee, why are you waiting here, standing, looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. There is nothing encouraging. There is nothing that separates us from other religions than to know that the one we save, the one that we believe in, one day will come back again. It looked like the apostles have lost hope that now Jesus is gone up. They are left alone. Although the command has been given that the Holy Spirit is coming, but there is always human doubt in ourselves. He's gone. What are we going to do now? Now an assurance is being given to them. You know what? The same way that Jesus is gone is the same way that he's going to come. Remember his preaching. Remember his testimony when he was about to be killed, when he was about to be crucified. People are saying you are the Messiah. And Jesus say, you are saying the right thing, because soon you will see the Son of Man coming in glory with the angels. And the angels are confirming that the same way that he has gone is the same way he will come back again. It's seeming the cloud has been used as a vehicle for taking Jesus. And it's going to be the same vehicle that will come and transport us with him to his glory. If you look at Revelation chapter 11 verse 12, we are told that the men who were being persecuted and killed, they were taken up by the cloud. And the same cloud that enveloped the apostles when we were with Jesus, and is the same cloud that will take us when Christ comes back again. This must have stirred them to service. This must have stirred them to become witness when the Holy Spirit comes down to them. When the Holy Spirit pours to them. That the same way that Christ had ascended is the same way that he will come and be with his church. So knowing that Christ will return someday should motivate us to serve him diligently. What can we say to us as a church today? We have seen that Jesus has shown himself to the chosen ones. He had not shown himself to the whole world. It's us who knows that he had risen. The world doesn't know. That's why they are trying to discredit that he had never risen. They have stolen him. But we know that Christ has risen from death. And from that we have hope. That same hope must give us encouragement that we shall not perish, but they one day we shall rise and be with him in glory. He had promised the Holy Spirit that will guide us in all truth. And as Christians today, we must be children of the truth, because the Spirit is living in us. We are not orphaned. It always encourages us that the same way Christ had ascended is the same way he will come back and take us home. I can say many things to us, but let me give you this, and I hope you will take it with you. And it's a hope for all Christians in places where they are persecuted, in China, in Somalia, in all the corners of the world. It's the truth that we are not only saving the Lord that has died, but we are saving a Lord that is alive. How is he alive? He's seen in our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, in a manner when Paul is saying, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. In conclusion, we are waiting for the day. Maybe even yourself, your friends have tried to discourage you. Your forefathers have talked about it, that he is coming. But the answer is, he had not yet come. You might even die and pass away while he had not yet arrived. But we know that his promises are yes and amen. And what he had said, he is not like a man, he does not lie. He does not change. The day shall come. Whether today, whether tomorrow, whether 1,000 years to come, but the day shall come. The big question that is left with us, while we are still waiting for the day, what are you busy doing? For the Christian faith, for the believers in Christ, the Spirit of God will always kindle them to talk about the kingdom of God. Because that's the urgent task every Christian must be doing. There is a friend of mine, he's not a Christian. He's always a funny guy. He said, you left school and you went to college and you are busy studying every day. You tell me about this Jesus coming, this Jesus coming. When is he really coming? Because even my grandma used to take me to Sunday school talking about this Jesus is coming. It seeming is like the white people wanted you to be busy with nothing. Be busy thinking that he's coming, yet he's not coming. And I say, why are you saying that? He say, because they have beaten Jesus, he can't come to this earth. That's how people they discredit Christianity. He's not coming. But to us who have believed, he is indeed coming. And the signs are showing that he is indeed coming. So for us as a church, we must be busy doing #500, because he is really coming. May the Lord be with you and bless you.